A couple things I do want to say. You may be seated. We made an executive decision really quickly that on this coming Wednesday night, Mrs. Hagen is going to lead us in a prayer for this nation as well, because this nation does need prayer at this point in time. And I guess while I'm doing that, I might as well say something else. I was going to say it in my message. Many of you maybe did or maybe didn't see this, but last week the White House Faith Office reached out to me and asked me if we would join with their effort. On Monday, this past Monday, September the 8th, President Donald Trump announced the America Prays Initiative. And actually, it was the second meeting of the White House Religious Liberty Commission, which I was invited to be there because I'm part of that commission, but I wasn't there. But he created a government-led prayer effort to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence coming up next July 4th. Amen. And so, you know, we do have a prayer group that does pray for this nation, but he does encourage, we want a million Americans that will give 1 hour every week to pray for this nation until July 4th, 2026. That's his initiative. And in his own words, you know, this is what he says: as we prepare to celebrate 2.5 centuries of freedom, I'm inviting America's great religious communities to pray for our nation and for our people. From the beginning, this has always been a country sustained and strengthened by prayer. So important. If we bring religion back stronger, you're going to see everything get better and better and better. You're going to see it get better and better. That's his words. Repeat himself. So as we chart our course for the next 250 years, let us rededicate ourselves to be one nation under God. Amen. President Trump's actually said that in Iowa on July 3rd of 2025, kicking off this, and then the initiative is starting. And there's 70 different organizations that have come together and we happen to be one of them, although they misspelled our name in the press release. But that's okay. God loves us anyway. Amen. But we do need to pray for this nation. You know, amen, you can pray, you can clap. And for some of you who weren't here on Wednesday night, I actually started a healing series and was going to continue it today. But in light of things that happened this week, I decided I'm in Portland next week. They need prayer probably too. But I'll in 2 weeks we'll do a healing service. All right, so that's there. But you know, man, I'm just going to be honest. This week, it's been a tough week. I've had a range of emotions from being mad to being sad to I don't know what I'm being. You know, we just be honest. I mean, we've all. I mean, it's pretty crazy, and you know, on the 10th, obviously, I'm sure most of you, you know, I was actually having a great day, and then my son calls me and says Charlie Kirk just got shot. All right, so and then my phone lit up like crazy. I happen to know a lot of people who actually really know Charlie Kirk. I don't know him, never met him, you know. But and people begin to, you know, urging different people to pray. And then I got a message that he had passed. Then later on, Fox actually confirmed that. You know, it was a crazy time. But what's even more crazy is social media. You know, showed this. My grandkids saw this. All of America saw this. Saw a man get shot. Well, it's more tragic to find out later that his wife Erica and his two children were also right behind him, and they had to see it live. You know, that's just tragic. That a man that was here for free speech died. You know, and I really, you know, well, honest with you, I've seen Charlie Kirk debates. I know people that know him, and I always, you know, I said, in my own opinion, I thought, well, it was great. He helped get the conservative voice out to young Americans, that's awesome. And he didn't deserve to die for that. He was there to speak freely. And and I've heard some negative things supposedly that he might have said and things like that. But I'm not here to talk about his politics because I don't really care about his politics. And he actually, I watched a debate where he told that person, "I don't care whether you believe in my politics or not, but I do care one thing, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." He actually said that. That was word for word out of his mouth. And I began to do a deep dive on Charlie Kirk. I've watched, I don't know how many, I haven't hardly slept since Wednesday night. I've prayed for this nation. I mourn for this nation. I've seen the hatred all over social media. Sorry, I don't mean to cry. I'm passionate. Seen the hatred all over social media, and I don't care what you feel about somebody. How can you have joy when a young mom loses a husband, when a kid loses a father, and a man gets assassinated in front of each and every one of us? I'm sure most of you probably saw, I only saw the video one time. This is a man's real life. This is not a video game on an Xbox system where you come back to life. Now, praise God, we do know he did come back to life. He is at a far better place. Because I know one thing. I know where he is. And I know, one day I'll get to meet him. Because I'll be at the same place. But I begin to do a deep dive on the man. I found out, I thought he was more of a politician. But I found out he couldn't do an interview without talking only about Jesus. And I found out that he hasn't just been preaching whatever his political beliefs to these people. He's been preaching Jesus to college campuses across America, through his organization. Many of you already know that, but I didn't. I mean, I knew he's a Christian. I know a lot of people are Christians, but they don't really talk about it a whole lot. But Charlie Kirk was an evangelist. I was listening on Fox News today, and they said, if you really want to honor Charlie, you go to church today, because that's what he'd want. I started deep diving, looking at all kinds of stuff or whatever, and this is not about politics, folks. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then I started thinking, man, this kid's 20, I mean, he's 30, 31 years old, and he started at 18. And to see what he's done in such a small, short time, all in the name of Jesus. He says he wants to be remembered not for his organization, but for his faith. It's amazing all the things he said. And whatever your opinion of the man, and I will say this guy has patience. He has the fruit of the Spirit, because I watched him debate some people who were pretty rude. And he just sat there calmly, nicely. We'll start. That was a pre-introduction, because I didn't really know the man. But the man, as we begin to think, has inspired me more than ever before to go out and tell this world about Jesus. Many people want to go we want the rapture to happen. Well, the rapture will happen quicker the quicker we tell people about Jesus. Today as we mourn the tragic loss of Charlie Kirk, we remember not just a man, but a voice. A bold voice for Jesus to his generation. He was unashamed of the gospel. He wanted to fill heaven. That's the exact words. That was his heartbeat. The exact words was, let's make heaven crowded. As I mourn the deaths of Charlie and think about his wife, Erica, his daughters, or his kids. I think he has a daughter and a son. Not 100% sure, really, honestly. I woke up the next morning, and it's 9/11. And I begin to remember, 9/11 changed this nation. 9/11 changed this world. And as I mourned the death of one man, you know, I went back and read the stats. Almost 3,000 Americans lost their life. Actually, if you want to include the terrorists, there was actually 2,998 people that lost their life that day on 9/11. 25,000 folks were injured that day. And my life and your life was changed. It was the worst tragedy that's ever taken place on American soil. Thousands of innocent lives were taken by an act of pure evil. Evil tried to stop America. Evil tried to destroy freedom. But I also remember the 12th day of September, 2001, happened to be a Wednesday. We don't open the balcony on Wednesday, but we had a crowd about like this, maybe even a little more, because America came together, united, regardless of our race, regardless of our religion, regardless of our socioeconomic status. Those things didn't matter. We came together as Americans, the United States of America. Folks, if we don't change America, we're going to have another 9/11 tragedy. It shouldn't take another 9/11 for us to be united. But that's where America's headed if things doesn't change. Enough is enough. So today, in honor of Charlie Kirk, let this be our turning point. Decide that we're going to do our part to change America. And the only way to save America is to get America saved. You know, the only way forward to stop evil is through Jesus Christ. To bring Jesus to a lost and dying and hurting world. We have a motto to bring hope, help, and healing to the world, but we need to not just say our motto, we need to do our motto. Many people have words, but words don't matter if you don't put actions to those words. So as I begin to look at this man, Charlie Kirk, I saw three things in his life, and actually, when I saw these three things, those three things actually reminded him of me. Charlie loved God. His walk with Jesus was his foundation. His world was centered around his Savior. Number two, Charlie loved his country. Charlie loved America. He believed in God's call on this nation, and he wanted to see it turn back to its righteousness. And number three, Charlie loved the youth of America. He invested his life to see a generation rise up bold in their faith and be unashamed of Jesus Christ. Because, folks, the way to change the future is to change the ones that will hold our future. If you want to change America, we have to change the youth. You know, the evil forces have been working, unfortunately, in our school systems for years to indoctrinate young people with the message of secularism that you don't need Jesus, that you don't need the Bible. Our world has changed. In second grade, every morning at my public school, because I went to public school all my life. It turned out okay, folks. Actually, you know what? I'm going to say this. You know, I don't, you know, I get it. You know, I got seven kids, including my stepkids. I've had kids in Christian school, public school, home school. Done it all. But you know, it was interesting, you know, my boys, they started out going to public school. We get to kindergarten. You know what the kindergarten teacher said? Thank you for sending your kid to public school. We really need people who know the light, who can spread the light in our school, because it's hard for us teachers, but if we have Christian students in our school, they can spread the light. Never thought about that scenario. You know, and praise God, we do need to spread the light. But it's the youth of America that's important. If we're going to change this nation, we're going to change the young people. The young people drives this nation, and the young people are passionate. I mean, you get young people on fire for something. I don't care if it's their football team, their basketball team, their baseball team, or their Lord and Savior. They're passionate. I mean, these guys, yesterday, you saw people with their shirts off, painted whatever their school colors on. It's going to probably take them, you know, all week long to get that, you know, whatever color off of them. But they wanted to support their football team with everything they had. But I want to support my Jesus with everything that I have. I want to go out and be bold. You know, Charlie was doing a great job of carrying the torch, but, you know, he was bold. He wasn't ashamed. I mean, you know, I saw him be interviewed by people that I know that some Christians would you know, they would probably soften their message because, you know, they know that this person wasn't a religious person or anything like that, but he didn't. In fact, I can't remember exactly the exact words, but he was interviewed by a guy named Bill Maher, some of you might know, who doesn't really seem to be the most religious person in the world, don't really know exactly. And Bill Maher said something like, I think he's kind of mocking, like, I think he said, praise Jesus, something like that. And Charlie goes, yes, praise Jesus, Bill. You know, he was unashamed of the gospel, but you know, he had a legacy of love. And you know, Charlie, in his own death, kind of reminds something. And I know this verse was talking about Jesus, but John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay one down one's life for his friends. Charlie gave his life not because he wanted to die, because he was willing to live boldly for the truth. It was that boldness and courage that he showed love for his generation. He laid down his comfort, his safety, his life, so others could know Jesus. You know, I actually heard a report that he was on another college campus, I mean, a few months earlier, maybe a few years earlier, and there was some major threats, and everyone told him he should cancel. And he said, no, I'm called to take Jesus to this campus, and I'm going to do it. Willing to risk everything, and you know, and I don't know, you know, God might have warned him. I don't know, you know, because people say, well, why did this happen? This is such a good man, such a young man. Well, because the devil's evil. We'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, but Jesus also said, Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? What is our neighbor? Our neighbor doesn't have to be someone who looks like us, who acts like us, who believes like us, but we love them anyway. We might not be okay with the way they live their life, but they're not going to change until they meet Jesus. And if you don't preach a message of love, you're not going to change anybody. People need to feel the love of Jesus. You know, Charlie loved God and Charlie loved people. He loved his neighbor enough to speak truth, even when it costs him. If we truly love God and truly love our neighbor, we will go out boldly and tell this generation about Jesus. Because you know what? We can't be ashamed of the gospel. But here is the thing. You know, I've seen a lot of evil being posted on social media, a lot of people being mean. Well, he said this and he said that and he said, you know, whatever. No one deserves to die by being assassinated. But you know, like I said, this is not about politics. It's not about the left versus the right. It's about heaven versus hell. It's about good versus evil. And these people, this shooter, Tyler, whatever his name is, I don't know. Anybody else involved, it's not really about them. It's about what motivates them. What motivates them was the devil himself. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." The real battle is spiritual. Evil thought it could silence Charlie's voice, my voice, and your voice too. But instead, his message is to grow louder, to go out, to be bolder. I'm proud of these people. I watch these young people, they started recording videos the day after he died and says, you know what? I've been afraid to actually speak my mind on social media. But because of Charlie, I'm going to start speaking out. If you're on social media, you have a platform. You never know who might see, one of your videos or one of your things. Also, think about things when you post too. That's a whole other thing. That's not. But it's time for us to stand against the enemy. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand." We must stand in prayer. We must stand in faith. We must stand in boldness. Evil may have tried to take Charlie, but we will not be silent and we will not back down. So many people have said, it was God's will for Charlie to die. I heard a pastor, unfortunately, said, if it wasn't by a bullet, it would have been by a heart attack, by a plane crash, by a car wreck. Folks, God doesn't kill people. Let me make this clear. The scripture tells us who the killer is. A preacher probably ever message I preach. John chapter 10, verse number 10. "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they may have it more abundantly." I believe that Charlie's course was cut short by the devil. Evil cut his life short, but what the enemy meant for harm, God will use it to ignite a movement. And Charlie's voice may have been silenced on the earth, but his message is roaring. Should be roaring in you. Not as politics, but as Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Taking Jesus to this world. This world needs Jesus like never before. And it's amazing to see the stats, to see how many young people are turning toward Jesus, and to see revivals happen on like Ohio State University. And it's one thing to happen at a Christian college, but secular colleges, and it's happening, left and right. And now as they're having, prayer vigils, they're seeing more things breaking out, more people getting saved. This had something happen the other day at OU, Oklahoma University, at the Laura Noble Center. Big thing, our young people are coming to Jesus like never before. And it's because of Charlie Kirk and other organizations like his. Man, I just want to be that bold. I just look at this and I'm thinking, am I that bold? I speak to a lot of people, but I want to be that bold. Like I said, we're wrestling against the devil. So let me say this. This is a moment for mainly young people, but young and old, to rise up. We're looking for the next Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Willing to stand strong when everybody else bows. One of my favorite songs back in the 80s, not going to bow to the idols. It's easy to bow. Other people had the same conviction as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They served the same God, but they'd rather bow and be forgiven than to stand and be bold. But these three young men were willing to give it all. And they said, you know what, King, we're not going to bow, so don't even play the music anymore. God's going to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. But praise God, we all know about the fourth man in the fire. God's looking for another Daniel that's willing to pray when he's told not to, that's willing to exercise, you know, his ability to pray even when he knows he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. He was willing to sacrifice his life. But praise God that we have a God that's able to get us out. He's looking for the next Moses who will stand before the Red Sea with nothing but a staff and faith. With the whole Egyptian army coming at you and a bunch of Israelites griping at you. Moses, you took us out here so we can die in the desert. But Moses says, but God, but my God, but my God. You know, we're looking for the next David. Then when nobody else will come against a big enemy like Goliath, a young kid, we're not talking about David, King David, we're talking about Kid David. He not only faced Goliath, he ran toward Goliath with everything he had. And he says, you know, Mr. Goliath, I might be a kid, but you're not coming against a little kid. You're coming against the army of God. Actually, this made me think of something. My grandfather's favorite song, the blood-bought church, the redeemed. You're coming against the church. And when you come against God, you're going to fall. The bigger you are, the harder you fall. He's looking for to raise up the next generation that's willing to be bold, willing to sacrifice it all, willing to adopt Dad's motto, I cannot be defeated, I will not quit. There's nothing that's going to stop me. No devil in hell is going to stop me from preaching the gospel to this generation. Now God's raising up this generation, the next Daniels, the next Davids, the next voices of boldness and truth. Acts 2:17, and it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. You know what? And I'm not even speaking to young people, but God wants to pour his spirit. The Bible says all flesh. So don't think, well, you know what? I'm old, so I'm out of it. No, you're not. You're never too old to share the gospel. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'm just too old. I'm too washed up. It doesn't matter. You know what? I'm 56. I'm not cool anymore. I don't have any, you know, any blonde tips, but I'm willing to go to a college campus and spread Jesus. I don't care. I don't know. I've always had a fascination because I've been able to travel to visit college campuses. I mean, I visited Cal Berkeley. Actually, unfortunately, didn't try to get people saved, but did. They were having student elections. I was in my almost 40. Student elections, and they were like, hey, vote for so-and-so and give me cookies. And I'm like, I'm not a student. Really? I went to Arizona State University, went to go buy a hat, of course, of the Sun Devil, so I had to find one without a devil on it. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. I walk in there, you know, and the lady goes, will that be cash or student charge? I'm looking, I'm like, you think I'm a student? I've been, you know, to the campus of Stanford. I just love being on a college campus. I said, you know what? And if, I don't care, I'm old, I'm not cool, but I know Jesus. You know, if, I don't mind. I'll go anywhere. Preach the gospel to anybody. The Spirit of God is falling on young men and young women right now. This is a generation that will help us change America. We need to be bold like Charlie. Charlie was bold like Stephen. You know, Acts chapter 7, verse 55 says, "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven," this is talking about Stephen, "and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, 'Look, I see the heavens opening, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" You know, at his last moment, Stephen's being stoned for preaching the gospel. But it didn't matter. He was willing to do whatever because he was a man full of faith and full of power. A couple of verses later, it says this in Acts 7:59, but this is Stephen's thought pattern. He says, "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he said this, he fell asleep." Someone who I know who knows Charlie told me this words. It was before they had caught the shooter. And we'll find out later on. But anyway, he said this. He goes, "I know Charlie, and he would like the shooter to know that he forgives him. And I know Charlie, his wish is to make sure that shooter accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior." This is from someone who knows the man. I haven't talked to anyone who knows the man that said anything bad about him. I understand he's not perfect. I'm sure he said stupid stuff. We've all said stupid stuff. Just when you say it in public, it's really worse. Trust me, I've been there. Especially when you're young, I try not to say stupid stuff. I still do. He wrote the book, Don't Be Stupid. But Stephen preached Jesus till his last breath, and Charlie did the same. His wife actually recounted, and I've been looking for video or whatever. He says, you know, one of the things he knows that Charlie was proudest about is just a few minutes before his death, he proclaimed Jesus to this college campus. Preach Jesus. You know, like I said, Charlie did the same. He lived unashamed. He challenged his generation to know Christ. And now, like Stephen, Charlie has stepped into heaven and seen the glory of the Lord. But boldness doesn't stop with Stephen. It doesn't stop with Charlie. It doesn't stop with anybody. Boldness continues. We need to see somebody else. Because when you see somebody else being bold, it's easier to be bold. We all know the scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse number 6, when Peter, they were there at the temple and said, there's a man that's begging for money. They're ready to go to the temple for a prayer meeting, Peter and John. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And, you know, obviously, this is a healing scripture, and if you continue on reading the healing scripture, you'll find, reading the scripture, you'll find out that 5,000 people got saved because that guy got healed. And they preached the gospel, and they were marveled because they were untrained men. They weren't really that smart. They weren't educated. But they just loved Jesus. You know, in that moment, they gave healing, but the principle is the same for us today. Give what we have. We might not have silver and gold. We might not have the resources and all the power, but what we do have is we have Jesus. And I believe that we need to give Jesus to the world. And the way to give Jesus to the world is to get them to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But no one's going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior if they don't think you care about them, if they don't see the love of Jesus going through you. I don't know why I'm very compassionate to this world. It's interesting because even like if you talk about somehow like you had knee surgery, my knee starts hurting for you. I just have a compassion. I want to do what I can to change this world. And I believe that Charlie had the same compassion for the world. I think every Christian should have compassion for this world. When you see somebody who maybe doesn't look like you, you know, they're just confused because they don't know Jesus. Give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you know, yeah, they have hatred, but, you know, but they don't know Jesus. The devil's their savior. Now, they might not be a Satanist, but they don't know Jesus. You know, when you know Jesus, things change. In fact, I mean, you know, and like I said, I'm not here to preach politics, but Charlie felt that his politics were shaped by his Christian beliefs. And I do believe that this nation was built on Judeo-Christian principles, the Bible. I do believe that our founding fathers were men of prayer. And I guess I never finished the second grade thing. In second grade, we said the national anthem, We sung the Pledge of Allegiance. We said the Pledge of Allegiance every day. Then after that, you know what we said? The Lord's Prayer. Because prayer was still allowed in schools. Third grade, it wasn't. And I've seen the nation deteriorate more and more because we tried to take prayer out of school. We tried to take the Bible. We tried to take all these things. It's important to raise up a generation that's bold, that's going to step forth and say, you know, whatever your thoughts on our president or whatever. First of all, the Bible says to pray for him, so I pray for a president. I don't care whether I agree with the politics or not. We're here to pray for our president, our spiritual leaders. But I appreciate the fact that he wants America to pray. I appreciate the fact that we have a faith office. And I know you might look at him and say, well, he's not the best Christian in the world. Maybe not. But we're not here to judge his Christian walk. Man looks outward, appearance, God looks on the heart. But I know that our goal is for our president to not only, I know he's saved. He'll tell you that God spared his life for a reason. He goes, I don't know what that reason is, but God spared my life. But our goal is to get him filled with the Spirit. That's our goal. I know many people that are working on that. Anyway, you know, we need to give people Jesus. Give them what we have, and what we do have, we must give. So we must give hope, help, and healing to a lost and dying and hurting world. That is boldness in action. You know, like Denise said, we should pray for this nation. You know, and she read 2 Chronicles, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my faith and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We need to pray for this nation. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. You know, some people might say, well, I live in a state where my governor or whatever, my senator, they're not, you know, the kind of person that they need to be or whatever, you know, but prayer changes things. You know, I actually just got off the phone the other day with one of my friends, Rodney Howard Brown. He was doing a meeting in Chicago. And he says, I've heard some bad things about, you know, or some things about the mayor, maybe that aren't really good. But he said the mayor wrote me a really, really nice letter, welcomed me to my town. And I got a chance to meet with him. And God said, you know what? As we get the guy, he started talking about when he grew up in church, a young man in church, and talking about, and they had common values, and they began to talk about things, about spiritual things, not natural things, but spiritual things. And, you know, that's how things can change when you start talking about spiritual things. And, it's interesting because, you know, God took him back God took me back to being a young child in a Baptist church. That's what the mayor said. You know, when we faced 9/11, we came together, but we need unity more than ever before. We need repentance. We need revival. And we need Jesus at the center of it all. You know, I want to remind us that Charlie and our loved ones are not gone forever. But you know where they are? Hebrews 12:1 tells us where they are. They're in the grandstands cheering us on. Therefore, we are also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Charlie's now part of that cloud, along with my grandfather, other great ministers, and maybe your family members. Many other great men and women of God, including all the people of the Bible that we read about. They're all at heaven. They're all in heaven. They're cheering. They're watching. They're encouraging us to go run our race, to be bold, to don't give up, to make heaven crowded, like Charlie said. Like you said, Charlie loved God. Charlie loved America. Charlie loved the youth. And we should too. Young people, this is your time to decide, you know what, I'm going to change my high school. I'm going to change my college. I'm going to change where I work. You know, I watched as I began to watch video after video, after interview after interview, I saw a man that's full of boldness and inspired me. I said, so I do believe it's our turning point. We need to decide that we're going to move forward and do what God has called us to do. We're going to go out and touch this world. I want this building to be full. And I don't want transplanted Christians that happen to go to another church across town. I don't mean, you know, I must say I don't care. I do care about those people, but you know, they're in a church. I want to go after the people that maybe used to go to church, but they don't anymore. I read I guess you used to call it an X, about a young man who said, you know, I am a young college age man. He said, I was an atheist, but Charlie changed my life. And I went back to my Jesus. See, he grew up in church, but he got away. That's the thing. When you get to college, a lot of times you have an opportunity to stray, to be taught differently, to act differently. You've been indoctrinated differently. But I think that we need to make it a goal to get heaven more crowded. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that happens to be here in this room and each and every person that's watching online. Father God, we just thank you right now to help us to be able to rise up in boldness, to be able to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, to this world like never before. Help us to be that bold. Help us to understand that we live life to change other people's lives. But Father God, we thank you today as we're here in this room. If we're here to bring Jesus to a lost and dying and hurting world, if you're here in this room and you don't know Jesus, then today is your day to know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. So if you're here in this room and you say, I don't know Jesus, I don't know who you're talking about, I've never met Jesus, I want you to lift your hand right now, because it's time for you to meet Jesus. Jesus will change your world. He'll change your world. You know, maybe you've been in church, but you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And I do appreciate his wife, Erica, as she talked about, you know, she said, the way to accept him is to say it with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and become Savior of the world. You know, he kind of led everyone through an altar call. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, maybe you've been in church, you've never accepted him, you can today. Or maybe you're here today and you said, you know what, Craig? I want to rededicate my life publicly today to be more like Jesus. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. I'm looking across the auditorium. I don't see anyone. You know, I realize that most of you probably are saved. But you know what? We got to give the opportunity, because if one person comes back, it's worth it all. It's worth it to take an extra 5 minutes or whatever it might be. Now I want to talk to each and every one of you. The ones that say to you, oh, there is someone. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? See, you know, it takes boldness to be the first one to walk down here. Anybody else that says, you know what? I know I need to be down there. I know I want to rededicate my life to God. Or maybe I want to be saved the first time. If that's you, come on down. Come on down. Be bold like this one. Because I know it's not easy to walk in a big place and to come down. She wants to change her life. Thank you for coming. What's your name? Trina. Trina, nice to meet you. Are you coming for rededication? Are you coming for being saved the first time?
First time
salvation. Trina, Jesus is going to change your world. Let me see. If I wanted to give you these books, how would you get these books? How would you get them? Just reach out and take them. That's how you receive Jesus. You just reach out and take him. You like Christmas?
Yeah.
Everyone likes Christmas. You know, Christmas time, we have gifts. And I know growing up, my mom would put my gift under the tree. You know, we'd all shake them or whatever. And it'd say, to Craig from Mom and Dad. I mean, except Jesus is like a gift. It's been sitting there under the tree waiting for somebody to open. But Trina, today is your Christmas day. You get to open that gift. You get to change your life today. I'm going to pray with you right here for a few moments, and then I'm going to ask you if you go with someone, and they're going to pray with you more. I gave you some books, but they're going to give you some more material so you know. You know, it's one thing to accept something, another thing to know what you come for. Is it okay if I put my hand on your head and pray for you? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this precious, precious child. Father God, we just thank you for the boldness that she has to be able to stand and walk down here. Father, we thank you for forgiving her for her sins, Father. We thank you, Father, right now that she accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She'll never be the same again. We thank you, Father, that passion and fire will burn on the inside of her. Thank you for it right now. Thank you that whatever she's going through, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you're going to make it all okay. You're going to help her through that situation right now, whatever it might be. Yeah, it might seem to be tough. I mean, you don't know a way out, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. Praise God. Amen. Can you turn this way? Go with Pastor Greg and his wife for a few moments. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Father God, we thank you for Trina. We thank you, Father, for her life. Thank you, Father, for her boldness to step out and change her life. That's what it's all about, folks. First telling salvation. We see a lot of rededications. But we live in Tulsa, Jerusalem. You don't see a lot of first-time salvation sometimes. We only come to a church like this. I want to speak to each and every one of us. I didn't know the man, but I know his Jesus. You know, just for the last few days, just by seeing his boldness and stuff, I mean, it's changed my thought life. It's changed my, you know, I'm thinking, what have I done? I'm 56, and I felt I've done quite a bit. I've traveled around the world. But man, I mean, this guy, I mean, he lived his life, so he wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. So I think we all need to dedicate ourselves to be that kind of Christian. I don't care if you're 18 or 80. It doesn't matter. You're called to minister to your world, whether it's in your school or in your nursing home. I'm not saying you have to be in a nursing home when you're 80 years old. All right. But if you are, you know what? You got plenty of opportunities to speak to somebody. God's a good God. God's a loving God. And we're called to take Jesus to this world. You know, I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I do know you're supposed to pray. Some of you are called to go out to all the world. You know, I feel that I'm called to go to the nations of this world, to take Jesus to every corner of this world. You know, some of you might not feel called for that, but you're called to go just be a light to your world. Before we go, you want to sing something?
And Jesus said, the center of it all. And Jesus said, the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters, nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, nothing else.
Today, that you're willing to take Jesus to this world and be a light, show forth love. We want to change America. We want to save America. We have to get America saved. It's our responsibility to go out and bring Jesus and bring that hope, help, and healing to a lost and dying and hurting world. Amen. Like I said, continue to pray for this nation. We, like I said, you young adults, tomorrow, we have special prayer time. Then on Wednesday, SEC 1, 11:30, prayer time. Then Bob's going to lead a prayer time here, this church on Wednesday night. Like President Trump has asked us to do, you know, maybe set aside in 1 hour just to pray for this nation. Because I want my grandkids to grow up in an America that I grew up in, where we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech. Amen. Praise God. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. The Connect team is in the aisle. We have some information, and we have a gift for you. If you'll just follow them to the north lobby really quickly, we'll give you that gift. The pastors are headed to the door. We know we maybe dismiss around here. Don't forget, tonight, 6 p.m., we have service back here tonight. But go out and light your world. Tell them about Jesus. God bless you guys. Have a great day.